y'all, Maureen here to talk to you about today's episode sponsor, Audible. The three of us are bookworms, so you can imagine how excited we were by this sponsorship. Audible has a massive selection and is the perfect companion for long commutes, doing dishes, and generally dismantling systemic oppression. Head to audibletrial.com/fatchat for a 30-day trial and a free download. Enjoy!
Hey, it's Fat Chat! Join us as we demystify the fat experience through discussions of sex,
art,
swimwear,
and each other. We try to keep it light, but it can definitely get heavy.
So come with us!
What up, podcast babies? I'm Jesse Oliver.
I'm Maureen Smith.
And I'm Makita Loney.
And we know you are waiting for our secrets, but we are recording this episode second, even though it's going to come out first. And we revealed our secrets on the episode after this one.
Yeah, so on the episode after this one, you're going to hear, oh my God, what a restorative break. And we're going to talk all about how our holidays were. But we have important business to deal with on this episode.
Yep. Yes.
That being how Jillian Michaels is terrible.
The whole entire internet, including her at the forefront, is fucking the worst.
So the overarching theme of this episode is going to be concern trolling.
Yes.
Yep.
That is something every fat person knows well. I actually had it happen to me over Christmas break. It is rough and hard and like just unequivocally unfair. It's a fucking shit show is what it is. Mm-hmm. And Jillian Michaels is a terrible trash human.
Yeah.
She's a terrible trash human for like so many reasons, but I have to tell you, so the day, the first interview, not the E! Interview, because she like did a follow-up interview that was equally as bad, that was like, I'm not just talking about Lizzo, I'm talking about
everyone.
All fat people. But that day the first interview came out, I like ended up going to her Instagram page, and I just got curious, so I watched the stories, and it was her and this like very young dude. I don't know what their relationship is, the dynamic of their relationship, but he was like eating this dessert and she's like, try the white chocolate, try the caramel, try the dark chocolate. Like she was like force feeding him desserts. And her thing was like, look at this fine, fabulous, fit man. And I was like, if a fat person posted the same fucking video, you would accuse them of committing a slow suicide.
Yeah.
So like, you think you get to enjoy this, but like other people can't.
Right.
You are a fucking trash fire of a human.
Oh, yeah. And what's so frustrating to me about the whole concern trolling thing is that the opinion of it is that it's more progressive than just fat phobia. Like they say like, oh yeah, you can be fat as long as you're healthy. I can't tell you how many, like, since I've been more outspoken about fat liberation, how many conversations I've had with skinny people where I'm like, oh yeah, fat liberation is a thing. And they're like, yeah, I just, you know, as long as you're healthy, because I mean, like, it's just like bad for your heart and it's like bad on your joints. And I'm like, yeah,
the but amount of people that, I was going to say something real vulgar and I'm not going to say it.
But I mean, like, but then like the conversation, like where I always land is like, first of all, like, sure. Like, you know, some fat people may experience heart problems. They may experience joint problems. But also so do skinny people.
But also, you're not a goddamn doctor.
Right. You're not a goddamn doctor. And also, don't I, as a person, deserve to be treated well even if I'm unhealthy?
Right. My health does not warrant if I should be dehumanized.
Right.
There are fat people who are healthy. There are fat people who are unhealthy.
Right.
At the end of the day, we all deserve to be treated with respect.
Regardless.
I have a long-standing knee injury that is from when I was 12. And when I was 12, I was a size, I remember being 12 and a size 12. And like, even then I that knee injury was from when I was like in puberty, like fully developed, but smaller. And I cannot tell you, like, in personal training situations, in any kind of fitness situation where I have trouble with that knee, I'm told, like, well, you know, losing some weight would help. I'm like, yeah, I sustained this injury when I was a size 12. So, like, it's not like me being fat is why I have a bad knee. Right. It's just I have a bad knee.
Yeah.
And, like, that could be, like, that could be applied to any thing. Like, oh, yeah, maybe I have a bad heart because my grandpa had a bad heart. Or maybe, like, maybe I have breathing difficulties because I have breathing difficulties.
Or, right. like, you're like me and I've had multiple surgeries on my sinuses for other reasons. Right. And I will always have breathing difficulties no matter what size I am because my sinuses are so screwed up. Like... And I hate feeling like I have to justify anything to people.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, first of all, let's all be honest, January is hard to navigate in a fat body to begin with.
I've been having such a hard time this month. It's been straight up, like, it's the first January where I've been, like, aware of it. But every January I fall into this trap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like... I'm like, I feel so lucky to like have such a strong support system that I'm able to like talk to people about it. And like, I was talking to my boyfriend about it and saying like, yeah, I'm just like feeling weird about eating and all of this stuff. And I'm just going to put a blanket trigger warning on this whole episode of eating disorders. Heads up. And I think that, and like, as a result, like I get home from work every day and he's like, I made you food, eat it.
I don't know if you saw the thing I posted the other day where I was like posting, like I posted a Pokeball bowl and then I posted
a Pokeball
and then I posted like this big salad I was eating, and I realized like I immediately got really concerned that people would think
that you're on a diet.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's that I did potatoes for 2 months and I just am craving fresh vegetables. I just want a
vegetable
right
in my body and that's it.
Yeah.
That's
Then I also hated the fact that like, that is one of those things in thin privilege that no one would even have to stop and think that if I'm posting this, people are going to think that I am
trying something. Yeah.
Or that I am advocating for trying something, right? Like, disengage from that fuckery.
Yeah.
Like, disengage from, I was like, no, the truth is I ate potatoes most of November and December.
My body literally just said, hey.
I need more vegetables. Yes. And it's all I want.
Yeah.
All I wanted in December was cookies. That's all, because I was sick for a lot of December. And when I'm sick, my body's like, sugar. And so I basically just ate cookies all of December.
Right.
And so for like 3 straight weeks in January, I just ate sweet potatoes and peppers and onions. And like, I just made these like hashes of all these like vegetables. And then I put it like an egg on top. And like, that was it. Oh, by the way, I eat eggs.
I was about to say, I don't know if the podcast really knows.
My whole face was like egg on top.
Yeah, no, yeah. I eat eggs now.
I also started thinking of Beyonce's Love on Top with, I gotta put my egg on top.
Baby, you're
so there was a lot going on my face.
Baby, you're the egg on me.
Yeah. Yeah, I realized that I hadn't yet outed myself as eating eggs. But I eat eggs. So, yeah.
So concerned scrolling is like, take the lesson. If we know we have, we know this podcast has listeners who are not fat people.
Yeah.
Who are thin people learning more and who are being good advocates and allies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, if you ever hear a friend in conversation when your fat friend is not around, say, I'm just worried about their.
Oh my fucking God.
Stop them. And say,
doesn't fucking matter.
Doesn't fucking matter. Also, it's not your fucking business.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I remember I was telling someone about this podcast. I was like at work telling, so I had a student who left and I like got to be like buddies with her mom. And so it was like her, it was her last lesson. And so we were just like chatting and she's like, where, you know, and I was like, oh, I host this podcast. And, one of the things she said to me was like, oh my gosh, that's so great. And I mean, I think that people should be happy in whatever bodies they have as long as they're healthy. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here I am telling you about this fat positive podcast.
And like, I feel like the first thing that like I want to incline, so like, are you healthy? Like, I just want to ask person that asked me, because it's just like, you're kind of assuming that like fat people like are inherently not healthy. So tell me, are you in perfect health? But then you feel uncomfortable disclosing that information, right?
Right.
Because it's like, invasive as hell, right?
Right.
Like, and it's just so shitty. So like,
like, yeah, let's all have a candid conversation about about our health.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how's your heart?
Yeah.
How's your mental health?
I mean, clearly, right.
Like, you know, like, is there anything that you would not want the general public to know? Because...
Tell me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I need to validate your existence.
I'm like, the other thing that just drives me bonkers is this idea of, like, people being like, well, you know, you don't want to get diabetes and da-da-da-da-da. And you're like... First of all, why are you talking in a way that if someone has diabetes, they are lesser than?
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Like, secondly, not every fat person gets diabetes.
Right.
Like, I don't understand this idea of, like, you know, well, this is an inevitability.
Right.
It's not. And, like, you don't know anything about being a doctor.
Yeah. Well, and also not fat people get diabetes.
Correct.
It is not exclusively a fat disease.
Right.
If you read The Babysitter's Club, you would know that Stacy had diabetes, and she was a New York trendsetter and often described as thin. So, well, like, come on.
Well, but, like, someone like Tom Hanks has type 2 diabetes.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's this misconception that fat people will get type 2 diabetes.
Right.
That's not true. And, like,
And you know what's interesting? Nobody ever talks about that. I mean, not that, like, I'm expecting all celebrities to put all their shit out all the time, but I feel like if, like, a fat fat celebrity were to have type 2, that's it. You know? Like, that shit would hit the presses, like, in a hot second.
Right.
Yeah. I've been rewatching Scrubs recently. I loved that show when I was in like middle and high school. I loved that show. And actually, as I'm watching it, I realize that I have a lot of the show memorized just because I watched it over and over and over and over again.
Right.
But I haven't watched it in like probably 10 years or something like that. And so now I'm watching it, and it's interesting to me, just kind of like on a separate issue, because when I was watching it when I was in like middle and high school, I didn't really have an understanding of what health insurance meant. And a lot of that show is talking about doctors finding ways to treat patients who don't have insurance.
Yeah.
That's like half of the politics of that show, are doctors finding ways to sneak procedures for patients that don't have insurance without the chief of medicine finding out. That's like most of the drama that happens. And
on Scrubs?
On Scrubs. That's it. Seriously. Because the guy, the chief of medicine, Dr. Kelso, was like this money grubbing, you know, son of a gun. And like one of the first episodes, he tells JD, who's the protagonist, he's like, if they have insurance, treat them. If they don't have insurance, show them the door. And I'm pretty sure that is an exact quote, because as I said, I have most of the show.
Yes.
So it's like that show. And it's also like the representation is like pretty good on that show. Mm-hmm. Like two out of the four main characters are people of color, and they're actually portrayed pretty well considering the show started in 2001.
Right.
But so like in that sense, it's like a very progressive show, but it is horrible to fat people. It is so bad to fat people. Like, if ever there is a fat patient, the first conversation, and it's like treated as if the fat person is the bad guy.
Oh, of course.
And it's like, why won't they listen to reason? Why won't they just stop eating the cheeseburgers? I don't understand. And like, there are numerous scenes of like Dr. Cox, who's like the mean doctor, berating fat people. And it's like, and it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's just like, God, this didn't age well. And, like, and it's so disappointing because the show is so progressive in some senses. Like the way, you know, the way that it portrays poor people and the way that it portrays, like, people of color and the way that it portrays, like, the, you know, the medical establishment is, like, you know, it's very critical of the medical establishment, but it's horrible to fat people.
Do you know the show Everything's Going to Be Okay?
No.
It's a show on Freeform, and it stars the guy from, what was the show he was on before this? It was Please Like Me was the name of the show. So this show, the premise of the show is that this Australian 20-something-year-old comes to LA to visit his dad and his stepsisters, and his dad reveals that he's dying and that he wants this 20-something-year-old to be the guardian of the two girls. Mm-hmm. So there's this episode where they're talking and they're like, suicide isn't funny, lisps aren't funny. You know, they're like going through these things, and then they made like 3 fat jokes in a row. And I was like, what the actual fucking fuck? That, like, you just went on this like litany of things that are like progressive issues that are not funny, but like you made like a really like kind of well twisted joke about certain things, right?
Yeah.
And then you just like did cheap ass terrible fat jokes in a row. And I think it's because it's the last like frontier of people still thinking, well, we can always make fun of the fat people.
Right. It's the last thing that's, quote, universally funny.
Right, because we're just concerned about your health.
Exactly.
Also, I mean, one of the things, and again, trigger warning over this whole episode.
Yeah, I'm just, like, if you're... If you're feeling some sort of way about eating disorders, like, we're with you, we support you, I'd advise you not to listen. Yeah,
One of the things that just drove me the most bonkers about this Jillian Michaels thing is I so remember when I was younger watching it, like, this is before I'd really, like, I think a lot of fat people at some point watched The Biggest Loser because we were young and trying to figure out what... It is not that I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to stop being treated shittily by society.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? So I would watch this and, like, I remember so greatly this episode of her handing out gum and being like, if you're hungry, just chew gum.
I've been told that before.
And I was like, that's fucking disordered eating.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you are actively telling people, do not listen to your hunger cues. Do not listen to things that your body are giving you. Just chew gum instead. And I was like, this bitch promoted eating disorders on national television and then has the fucking audacity to get up and be like, but fat people have diabetes. You're like, you know what? You also gave them an eating disorder, so fuck the fuck off.
Yeah. Well, also, like, how many former contestants of The Greatest, or The Greatest, The Biggest Loser have died?
Right?
Wait. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people who've actually, like, died. There's also a lot of people who have gained the weight back.
Well, I knew about the like, obviously, like, the people gained, and didn't know anybody, like, actually, like...
Yeah, people died. And it's coming back. The show's coming back.
The show is coming back.
And people, former contestants have died.
And, you know what, like...
It's really shitty.
Also...
And they're giving her a platform.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Bob Harper, who's one of the coaches, has had 3 heart attacks. And, like, you sit there saying fat people are going to have heart attacks when your thin trainer has had heart attacks. Like, and this is not, I'm not, hear me say, I'm not, that's terrible. I'm not trying to say that that's not terrible. It's the messaging of, I am just so tired of people telling me I'm killing myself. Do you know how hard it is to live a joyful life when people just keep putting upon you that your existence is a form of slow suicide?
Yeah.
It's shitty.
It's horrible.
I have, like, a constant fear that, like, just from, like, shit that's been embedded in me that I'm gonna die at any second. And then that's just, like, a internalized thing that I can't get rid of because right. of just, like...
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the truth is, and I don't, like, the truth is...
I mean, yes, that's true.
That's true, but that's true of every single right, exactly. fucking person. Right,
exactly. But, like, yeah, to, like, another, like, oh, I'm gonna, like... Like, that's not how... Like, I'm gonna have a heart attack any second, I'm gonna die, you know? Like, that's... Right. And that's, like, all... It's, like, one of those, like, really shitty, like, internalized fears I have in the back of my head that I just can't shake.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, just hearing shit, like, I can't do it.
No, like...
It's really...
I, like, so deeply identify with, like, the fear of just, like, I'm going to drop dead any second.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, like, there will be nights where, like, I've, you know, where after, you know, most Sundays we make, like, a big dinner and have friends over and stuff like that. And there will be nights after, you know, and everybody just, like, stuffs their faces and it's wonderful and joyful and great.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, some nights after that, after I've, like, eaten way too much, I'll be lying in bed and I'll have, like, gas pains. And I'll just be like, this is it. Like, this is just how I go. And it's, like, that's, like, the most harmful
fun. It really is. It's, like,
terrifying. And I wouldn't be having these thoughts. I wouldn't organically be having these thoughts.
Right? Like, I... And my boyfriend sometimes makes fun of me for, like, how little butter I use in things. And it's because, like, when I was, like, less than 10 years old, I was putting butter on something. And they were all like, if you keep doing it like that, you're going to have a heart attack and you're going to die. And that's just one of those, like, really weird little, like... things that because of that that's never left me
right.
I just genuinely don't use a ton of butter on things.
Yeah,
it's weird.
I don't
I'm sorry that we're
have
taking into
you
this
read the Fuck It Diet.
I started
it's like over the
yeah.
It's so good.
I can't
it's
wait.
So good.
I can't wait to it, like keep I, like, going yeah
it was one of when I drove down to Arkansas for Thanksgiving I listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to buy it in book form as well because sometimes when I'm in a car for 20 hours I'm like
you're listening to this, yeah.
And it's really good. And it was the thing I think I posted this that like one of the things I realized this year, this 2019 year, not 2020. I still got a lot to realize in 2020. But one of my 2019 things that I, that was like revealed to me was I was out with friends and I knew I was full and I was still eating. And I was like, why am I eating? I know I'm full, right?
Right.
And I had this moment where I put together, I grew up really poor. Never knowing when the next meal was.
That's the part of the book that I just, like, finished going through, yeah.
And, like, talking about. Feeling like I had to finish something
mm-hmm.
because it was...
You don't know when the next meal's gonna come.
And that, like, even though for me I've done so much good, positive work of, like, my relationship to food and
mm-hmm.
with food,
mm-hmm.
this was, like, the final frontier.
Yeah.
And I just said, stop eating, get a box to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that reminder when you haven't been okay
mm-hmm.
that you're gonna be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't speak highly enough of the Fuck It Diet. It really, like, truly, I believe it is something every fat person should read because
mm-hmm.
we all have disordered eating issues
mm-hmm.
just because we the way
right
and even like the tone in which she writes the book is just so like personable and digestible and
yes.
friendly and like I haven't gotten that far but like I love it
yeah.
So I agree with you.
One thing I would like to make a point about with concern trolling is I believe it is a massive form of gaslighting.
Oh, yes.
And I don't think we talk about it in that language.
Mm-hmm.
Gaslighting is something everyone understands. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That we've been talking about it with the Me Too movement. We've been talking about it with other things. Concern trolling is gaslighting. It's like, I want you to feel good about yourself, but,
mm-hmm.
like, it's that mixed messaging and that manipulation and that, like, and it is so... fucking toxic and so dehumanizing, and that is what gaslighting always does.
Yeah.
It is a form of gaslighting. And so the next time you, if you're listening to this and you just want to think, oh, but what about her health or what about his health or what about their health,
it's none of your fucking business. It's none of your fucking business. Until you have that conversation and you express that concern with every single one of your friends that you see eating a cheeseburger.
Or until a fat person opens the door to say, I'm worried about this thing.
Right.
To you. And they're coming to you as their friend.
Right.
And it's not about their weight. It's about a personal health thing.
Well, and also, like, where I always land with that kind of thing is, like, okay, so someone has just approached you and said, I'm concerned about your health. All right. What's step two of that conversation?
Right.
Like, is there going to be any follow through?
Right.
Or of, like, you supporting me through finding wellness in my life? Not that I need it, but like, are you then going to be like, oh, you know, I think, you know, I don't think that you're very healthy. Okay, great. Are you then going to, like, pay for personal training sessions? Okay. Are you then going to pay for the food for, like, Nutrisystem or something? Like, what's your plan B? Or is your concern just placing the concern on my doorstep and then walking away feeling like Mother Teresa?
Right.
And that's what happens. Ooh, sorry.
Do you, like, it's also like, do you think I don't know I'm fat?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like, do you think I don't? Also, like, do you think I haven't known all of the health risks associated with being fat since I was a fucking child?
Yeah.
Also, do you think that you're the first person to ever say this to me?
God. And that exact thing essentially happened to me. Like, I know we spoke about it on the podcast before, but with the moment that I went to LA Fitness, like, in a genuine, like, this is when I was starting to realize that, like, I can move without weight loss being a goal, you know? And that was when I was just starting to finally get on that track and be like, yes, I want to swim because I genuinely love swimming, and I want to work out because I genuinely, like, my anxiety, like, it makes me feel so much better when I move and I leave and I feel good and all these things. So I'm like, LA Fitness is a couple blocks away from where I used to work. I'm just going to go there because I know they have a swimming pool and I really want to get back into swimming. So essentially, they do the thing where they, like, bombard you with, like, oh, you get a personal, like, a free personal training course. And I'm like, all right, you guys aren't going to leave me a fucking alone. Fine. Maybe I can learn some new moves from this guy and I can just do them myself. And so I meet this guy who was super nice to me during the whole thing. He's like, oh, wow, you can really do, like, I was able to do a lot of the stuff, that, like, the introductory stuff that we were going through. Some of it was a little harder. That's fine. Don't really care, right? So then we sit down to do the whole discussion about the personal training and all this stuff. And he's like, well, based on all these things you told me, I know that, like, this isn't something that you want, but this is something that you need.
Ugh.
And I just sat there and I was just like, oh, God, it's happening again. Like, I, like, this is, like, one of the, because every single time I think that I, at least, like, at that point, like, when I thought I had a little bit of agency and a little bit of confidence, and I was like, yes, I'm going to do this thing because I want it, concern trolling came right in, fucking crushed me, and I just started crying. And that was when, that was a point in time where I hadn't touched a gym, like, in a year after that. And then I found Rockwell, and I, yeah, but, like, yeah.
No. That is, that, like, you can take the most confident person.
Yeah.
You can take the most confident person. I would say that the three of us are, like, confident fat women. Mm-hmm. We can take a lot. We can take, yeah, a lot of criticism. We can take a lot of doubt. We can take a lot of side eye. Mm-hmm. Like, us three are pretty fucking bulletproof. But for, I don't know what the fuck it is, but concern trolling, it, like, finds the gap in your armor.
I think it's because of, like, all of our insecurities that have been, like, kind of, like, taught to us. You know what I mean?
Well, part of it is because it's masked in this idea that I care about.
Yeah, that, yeah.
That's what it is. And it's like, if you cared about me, if you truly cared about me, this would never leave your mouth.
Right.
And so it's an immediate, it's personal, so it's hurtful.
Yes.
Because especially when it comes from the people who are supposed to love, care, and protect, mm-hmm, you, when it's like, but I'm just, you know, concerned. You're like, no.
No.
You're not. And that's exhausting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it, like,
it's also, like, so many times I walk into environments, and it's not just armory, right? Like, I feel like I'm, like, walking in, like, a different fucking person. Mm-hmm. Like, I have, like, bitch mode on because, yeah, I'm like, I know I have to do this, mm-hmm, in order to advocate for myself.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's also weird. Like, I feel like a very, I feel like me all the time unless I'm in that moment where I have to like walk in feeling like I'm
walk in with the confidence of a mediocre white man.
No, so I'm currently the fattest I've ever been, and that's fine. I don't care.
It's also like, hard because that should just be able to be a statement you say. And it's like,
And it's fine. I genuinely don't care. But I am the only fat member of my family. My dad was fat, but when he died 8 years ago, so went the only other fat person in my entire family. And so when I go to family holidays, I am very noticeable. I stand out. And this year I felt particular, I was like nervous. And like, I had never felt that before. I had never felt nervous to go to a family holiday because I'm like, my family loves me. My family, like, I should feel safer. Like, but for some reason, going to Christmas this year, I was like, I'm fucking nervous. And I actually had a cousin not overtly say something to me, but like, she was asking me like, oh, so like, are you still vegan? And I was like, well, I actually started eating eggs recently. And she was like, oh, wow. So like, okay, well, and like, so like, how is that going for you? And I was like,
I eat food.
I was like, it's fine. Yeah. I'm here. I am standing before you.
Yeah, right.
In one piece and holding a conversation with you. So I would say it's going pretty well.
Yeah.
And she was just like, yeah, I'm just like always interested in like, you know, like what people are doing, like for like what they're eating. And I'm like, are you? That's so interesting. Wow. And like, part of me wanted to turn to my other cousin and be like, hey, like, what are you eating these days? Or does it matter?
Yeah.
Like the fact, and that was the first time, like, you know, that was like genuinely the first time that I've experienced something. Cause like my family is all like smiley Midwestern. Like we see each other at holidays and we all kind of like put on a mask and we go, it's so nice to see you. I'm so proud. But then like we go about, like, I know that like we're all sitting there being like, I know that we disagree on how life should be lived and how things should be done and on very fundamental levels, but we're just going to sit here and smile and laugh and it's going to be great. And then I'm going to see you in 8 months. But like, that was the first time that kind of barrier had been broken, but in like kind of an insidious way. And it was fucking, I was just like so taken aback by it.
Would you ever tell her that was really hurtful?
No.
I get that.
Yeah.
Because that is, you know, I think sometimes that we throw around emotional labor when it's just friendship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, that's not emotional labor, that's friendship.
Right.
That very specifically is a form of emotional labor.
Oh, 100%. No, well, and part of it is, and I mean, like, you know, I know that, like, I can, you know, tick off a few, you know, I know that a couple of my family members listen to this podcast, but... like, and so, you know, this particular, I don't think that cousin does though. So I don't really care. She has a fitness Instagram.
I knew it. Sorry.
Yep.
I knew exactly who it was. And then I'm like,
I bet it's this one.
She has a fitness Instagram. And so I know that it was, it wasn't coming from a place of ignorance. It was coming from...
And it wasn't coming from a place of curiosity.
Like, genuinely, I want to, like, know how you're doing.
Yeah, it's...
No, it was, oh, wow, you've gotten way fatter. What are you eating?
You should have been like, oh, yeah, these eggs I've reincorporated. Really, just...
Really packed on the pounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, and it's like... And I left being like, yeah, no, that's what I was dreading.
Yeah.
Like, I was nervous to go to Christmas with my family for that particular reason. And then it fucking happened. And it's like, I can't, like, the fact that I come, like, I am very lucky when it comes to family. I have a family that I have family that I enjoy spending an afternoon with. Now, much beyond an afternoon, I'm not sure. But I can spend an afternoon with my extended family and walk away feeling fine. And I recognize that that is extreme. I realize how rare that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I, the fact that, like, I don't know. I just couldn't believe that, like, I was like, oh, wow, like, is nothing sacred? Like, just this, like, afternoon of what is usually, like, very pleasant. Like, why can't I enjoy a fucking holiday?
Right.
Well, I mean, that, absolutely. I just, knowing that it's the fitness cousin.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, our existence somehow seems to
be at odds.
Well, threaten their
happiness,
whole life belief, right?
Yeah.
Although I will say, just the way intuitive nutritionists have popped up and like health at every size nutritionists have popped up, a lot of intuitive trainers are starting pop out. And if Britt Marie is listening to this, my dear student Britt Marie is also a personal trainer and runs an Orange Theory and is so good about this. And I think has just really sort of taken a step back and looked how the industry treats fat bodies and has went, well, of course fat people don't want to go to a gym. You know what I mean? And I just so appreciate the work I see her doing for that industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the trainer I'm with at Rockwell is just when he was like, I fucking hate keto and I fucking hate Jillian Michaels. I was bring it on.
Yes.
let's
fucking do this. Yeah. No, my trainer had her whole thing is strength for everybody.
Yeah.
So regardless, essentially within the same thing, regardless of who you are, you can be a strong ass bitch.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yes, bitch. Let's do this.
Yes. No, I think that what I'm loving about, I think that on a positive note, there are so even going back 3 or 4 years, in the past 3 or 4 years, there are so many more inclusive fitness and movement spaces for fat bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, are there enough? No. But there are some.
Yeah, right.
There are more.
Some is more than none.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And, I think that, with the way things are going and as, in regards to, the treatment of fat bodies and the progress that has been made, I feel really optimistic mm-hmm. about conversations that I'll be having at Christmas in 10 years or, conversations that that people will be having with gym personal trainers in 10 years.
I do think there is a difference in 10 years essentially is a generational gap, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference in your generation and the generation coming up under you than my generation.
Oh, yeah.
And that gives me hope because for me, who's 10 years older than the two of you,
mm-hmm.
I can see how things changed.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then I can see how they're still continuing to evolve and change.
So I was, me and my boyfriend went to New Orleans for our anniversary this year. Which was really fun. We were only there for a day because that's all we could afford, but it was really fun.
mm-hmm.
If you want to talk to me about how to have fun when you don't have a lot of money, haha. But I got a tarot reading when I was there. And first of all, she told me that she thought she drew a card and was like, are you working on a project that you're taking a break from? And I was like, yes. And she's like, I think that's a great idea. And I was like, cool. So a New Orleans witch co-signed us taking a publishing break in January. So you're welcome.
Yeah.
She also, because of that, I was telling her about Fat Chat and she turned off her timer because it was a timed session. She turned off her timer. She was like, I just want to take a moment because she was fat. I just want to take a moment to tell you that I think that is really important work. As a person who grew up in the 80s, I faced such bad treatment and the fact that these conversations are happening are so important. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I haven't even listened, but like, because, and then she talked about witchy stuff, which, you know, more power to her, but she talked about my energy. She was like, yeah, because of the energy I'm getting from you, like, I can tell that it's impactful. And so I just want to say, like, keep doing it, keep working on it, keep going. And I like the fact, and then she like started her timer and, you know, then talked about some more stuff. But like, what was so like, yes, like there is such a generational difference, because she was like probably in her early 40s or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, and you know, and I told her, I was like, yeah, one of our hosts is like around 40. And like, it's, yeah, there is such a difference. And so like, it does give me such space to be hopeful.
Yes. And also I am getting more excited about seeing people my age who are fat, who are starting to turn the corner.
Yeah.
I turned the corner, I think, earlier than most my age, mainly because a lot of situational stuff. There was, yeah, like a lot of situational things where like me hating my body just could not be the forefront of my energy.
Yeah.
And it ended up, terrible things could lead to some good things, right? Yeah. So, but I see it and I'm like, yes, it's happening.
Yeah.
There's a revolution happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and like, bring on that revolution, honestly.
For real. Yeah.
It's about fucking time.
Let's all meet and burn copies of diet books and.
Yeah. Let's all find those Weight Watchers books from the 90s and just like burn them in a massive,
yes,
Guy Fawkes bonfire.
Also, did anyone else find in a week of terrible like world news, the fact that the hashtag for the new Weight Watchers rebranding and the hashtag for World War III were getting conflated just made me go, balls.
Oh my god.
It was like, oh boy.
Oh my god. Well, if that's not a note to end on,
yeah,
I don't know what is. Bring on World War III on skinny people.
we should say concern trolls,
yeah. No, skinny people, keep living your lives. Yes. Just don't be mean to us. All right.
Bye, podcast babies.
Me. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at
Fat Chat Posse.
You can find us on Facebook at
Fat Chat.
And you can shoot us an email at heyitsfatchat@gmail.com. Thanks so much for fatting with us.